Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week I've got Nick Davey.
Where's my nickname?
I haven't had a chance to do it. Been ill. Nick.
I'm never coming back. Good evening.
Nick the...
Hello?
Yeah, I can't think of it. I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
And Oliver Newman.
Oh, nice.
I'll come up with brilliant nicknames next month, but I promise you. For Royal Rumble.
It's better, Chris.
I've got 6 weeks to think of them. I've not been well this week. So, you're lucky I've put a script together.
This is our last show of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
When do we get our bonus?
When we get paid. That's all.
Friday night, Nick.
So, huge thanks to all our listeners. Our Survivor Series review was our first show to pass 1,000 downloads, plays. So, hey. So, thank you for everyone. So, tonight's show will be announcing the winner of the WWE section of our BBG Awards and reviewing Clash of Champions. So, the first award we'll be announcing is WWE or NXT Pay Per View of the Year. Yeah, the nominees were NXT TakeOver Chicago, NXT TakeOver War Games, SummerSlam, or WrestleMania.
Drum roll, Nick.
And the winner was, with 45% of your votes, was NXT War Games.
Yeah, thoroughly deserved it. A really strong card from start to finish.
I think, to be fair, I think any NXT, I think out of I think the NXT War Games, NXT, NXT the weekend when it was over SummerSlam, NXT New York, and NXT, NXT Brooklyn, and then NXT Chicago, I think all three of them could have been in with a case for winning it. So, they've all put on some fantastic takeovers this year. Really signals what NXT is all about. The War Games in the end, I think, probably was the deserved one.
War Games match was my favourite match of the year.
Well, the War Games match was also one of mine, and also the Aleister Black versus Valentina Green as well.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I kind of echo what Nick's saying, that the NXT takeover has been pretty strong this year. From TakeOver Chicago, Pete Dunne against Tyler Bate is obviously one of the WWE / NXT matches of the year. Johnny Gargano against Andrade Cien Almas from NXT, Brooklyn, I think. That was a super surprising match and one of the best matches of the year. And once again, echo what Nick's saying about Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black from NXT War Games was a sensational match as well. So I think the standard of the NXT takeovers from January through till November's being the last one, it's always been of a good standard. There's been some that have been good, and then there hasn't been any weak takeovers, I don't think.
No.
I think they've all been strong, but there's been some that's better than others. But out of the four choices, NXT War Games deserved it, no doubt.
Next up was WWE or NXT Feud / Storyline of the Year. And the nominees were the DIY Breakup, Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar, The Usos versus New Day, or Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman.
Nick?
This was one of our closest. There's only 3% between Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns and the UK.
Okay, he's not giving you a drum roll, he's whistling instead.
It's like he's about to take the penalty.
Oh.
Does penalties. Right, so this was one of our the closest.
I'm trying to set him up so he doesn't mistake like there was in the Oscars.
I know, we're pulling things out of envelopes, it's all written down over here.
Yeah.
Alright, so this was the closest. There was only 3% between the top two. And the winner with 32% of the vote was The Usos versus New Day.
Whoa. Yeah. I think, based on match content and, storyline and promos and stuff between the two teams, that's a pretty fair winner, really. You could have, you know, Joe and Lesnar was a really cool feud from early in the year. They should have put the Universal title on Joe. It was a strange decision that they didn't, especially when it's been, you know, well talked about online and stuff, that Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar both, you know, wanted Joe to look, you know, look really good in the feud, and the best way to put him across would have been for him to win the Universal title. So that was one of the errors of the year, I think. And then with the DIY split, that's been fantastically done, and it's one of the things all three of us are looking forward to when Ciampa comes back.
So he got injured.
But in terms of this, though, they've been able to use the storyline, and they've been able to get even more juice out of it, haven't they, with the DIY t-shirt being a part of Gargano's matches and causing him to lose and stuff. They would, if he hadn't have been injured, who's to say the feud lasts into 2018? So, you know what I mean? we kind of cry out for storylines and, you know, longevity in terms of feuds and what have you. And, you know, that if he hadn't have been injured, the feud might have been over before 2018. So, with the injury, you've had them be a tag team, split up. Gargano can't win a match for love nor money because of the DIY being in the back of his mind, and then you'll have the feud on top of that, singles matches between the two, and you're looking at probably 2.5 year like window kind of thing, all in since they started tagging. So that's pretty cool, really.
So Nick, what are your thoughts on the Usos versus New Day?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the best out of a, I'll be a bit brutally honest, I think out of a bit of a bad bunch, really. I don't think there's been one rivalry that's really, really, really been talked about all over. I think some rivalry, especially some of John Lesnar, didn't go on long enough. I know that's obviously quite difficult with, obviously, Lesnar not being on Raw every week. But I think the Usos New Day was probably the one that got there. A lot of good, brutal matches. See some very good promos, including obviously the rap battle, probably the most famous one. So yeah, probably was a deserved winner, but yeah, I think all the singles feuds, bar maybe Reigns Strowman, which we've got the personal, we won't got very personal. I think it was quite a weak section.
And Reigns Strowman was a fantastic feud as well. I was trying to add that in.
Yeah.
In fact, the two like beasts of men. But like fighting an ambulance was turned over and stuff. It's very Attitude Era kind of elements to that feud, and the matches itself were actually pretty good. So,
yes, next was the WWE / NXT debut or NXT call up of the year. Mouthful that one. The nominees were Aleister Black, Killian Dane, Samoa Joe, and the Undisputed Era, and the winner, with 46% of the vote, he's my current favourite, is Aleister Black.
Yeah. Another award that's well deserved, really. He's been fantastic. He's that unique entity in NXT. The unique entity in WWE, really. There's no one like him. So, and the match quality's been fantastic. The aura, the music, the entrance, everything is just really, really amazing. Aleister Black is, making his way to the ring and in the ring. The Velveteen Dream match at War Games, like we said before, was fantastic. And, he's had matches with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, the, two members of the Undisputed Era, which are, really good as well. I haven't seen him have a bad match, and I think Nick might be lucky enough to see him against Adam Cole for the NXT title next April.
Are you going to the NXT event as well?
Yeah, I've got the tickets all sorted for that, sir.
So cool.
Tickets all sorted for Mania, SmackDown, NXT. We're just waiting for we've all been to get Raw tickets. It's just working out what we're going to spend. With Aleister Black there, he's had a fantastic year. He's been brilliant seeing him on NXT. Obviously, we were very excited when he debuted. Obviously, we saw him actually in the Tommy Yen character right at the start of the year in January, the UK tournament. Great to see him in an NXT character. And he's been excellent. And some of the matches have been, extremely good. I don't think he's had one questionable match. He's definitely going to be a future NXT champion. And I think the bigger question for him is how far can he go in the whole of WWE?
And I think
one thing they haven't done with him as well is he's actually a very, very good speaker on the mic as well. So he was one of my favourite speaker on the mics when he was in Progress. I think sky is the limit for him. And I think he really has got a very good career in front of him.
I think before his match with Aleister Black, he kind of had an aura about him, but that brought out his personality, feud.
And yeah.
It's just made him better. So.
And he's had he spoke on the microphone during the feud as well.
Yeah.
I like the aura and the not speaking, to be honest, nothing against his promo ability or anything like that, but I just think it's just amazing. Come to the ring, kick someone's ass, and then just go back, and it's like, wow, amazing. But within that kicking someone's ass, it's like a 10-15 minute masterpiece, so it's not like a Goldberg match, for example. He doesn't just come to the ring 30 seconds, a minute, and then win and go. It's 10-15 minutes, and it's a absolute joy to watch, really. He's one of my favourites to watch at the moment.
Okay, so then the last one for this section is the WWE / NXT match of the year. And our nominations were AJ Styles versus John Cena at Royal Rumble, Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate at NXT TakeOver Chicago, Lesnar versus Strowman versus Reigns versus Samoa Joe in the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam, and Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream NXT War Games. No drum roll. Okay.
Nick's still focusing on the penalty shootout, I think. Come on, Nick. Nice. Drum roll. There you go.
Okay. Is that the end? and the winner with 43% of the vote was it AJ Styles versus John Cena at the Royal Rumble?
This match was really, it was incredible. It was definitely the match of the night at the Rumble. It had a red thing, a correct winner as well, whether you like him or not. I thought it was the correct decision. I thought everything about the match was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I must be honest, out of the four actually on the list, I would have had this down as number four, which is not slating this match anyway, because it's on there for a reason, and it probably has won it for a reason. But I personally, from my personal point of view, I preferred the other three matches than this one. The SummerSlam Fatal 4 was my favourite one. People may disagree. It was just my type of match with a bit of chaos and everything. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate technically probably was the best match. Obviously everyone's got their opinion. Clearly this was clearly everyone's favourite match.
I think for myself, I'm trying to think, was who went into the AJ Cena match as champion?
It was AJ. It was when Cena finally got better of him and won his 16th, equaled it Ric Flair's 16th title reign.
Yeah, so then Cena went into Elimination Chamber as the champion.
And that's when Bray Wyatt won it.
Yeah, okay. The John Cena, AJ Styles series of matches were fantastic. Can't take anything away from them. But I believe Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate should have won this. It was something that, apart from, I guess, the British contingent of fans, the American contingent of fans at NXT TakeOver Chicago had no idea that was going to happen. And then it blew it out of the water for me personally watching. I thought it was an absolutely amazing match. And then Nick said, and I, thoroughly believe, the four-way was just utter chaos, but in a great way.
Yeah.
And then Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black. We've been waxy lyrical about the whole of this podcast. But I think you know, you definitely should have been picked on against Tyler Bate, because that was, you know, when they were chanting UK and just really behind the match, considering the UK scene had only been seen on, you know, in America on on-demand services and on, you know, different shows on the network. To get that reaction for that match, to get the in-ring action to be as good as it was, just everything about it, that should be a match of the year, really. But, you know, everyone's got an opinion, and the Broken But Glorious Wrestling podcast listeners went with Styles versus Cena, which was, you know, which was a very good match in its own right.
From a historical standpoint, that'll probably be the match that will be played for years and years and years. It'll be the one where he, because he equaled the record.
Cena, yeah. Equaling Flair's record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the most historically, I can't think of the word.
Historically important match.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah. Out of the four, but it's not, it wasn't the best match out of the four.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the punk rock supernova Eric Emenon, the leader of the IndyCard Mafia, the voice of the free world, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so we'll move on to our review of Clash of Champions. Nick, did you watch the pre-show?
I watched the match actually in the pre-show. I was about 35 minutes late to the start due to Die Hard.
My favourite Christmas movie.
Exactly, Christmas and all that. First time I saw Die Hard as well. But
first time you've seen Die Hard?
Yeah, that's not why we're on the podcast though, so.
Die Hard and Gremlins is my favourite Christmas movie.
No, my favourite Christmas movie is Elf. Love Actually. No, that's Home Alone.
There's one. The one in the listings I saw this week got 2 stars. Jingle All the Way, but I think that's fantastic.
My mate was saying when I stayed around his house, in his partner's house last. They had it on in the morning, and they said it was brilliant. Had a chance to watch it, but yeah,
I think it's one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's best films, in all honesty.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen
it. I like silly, stupid Arnold and stuff, as opposed to I'll Be Back kind of thing. So
we should have done a podcast talking about Christmas movies.
I said we should have done a review of Santa with Muscles, but Oliver could do that.
You did say that back in there. But just to bring it back to this match, I know you was asking Nick Bush when I chime in as well. The promo.
There's no Santa Claus in this match.
No, there's no Santa Claus in this match. He was too busy debuting at a local promotion. I can't think of the name though.
The one that Just Incredible turned up drunk to.
No, a local British promotion.
Did you see the one where Macaulay Culkin interfered in the match?
Yeah, I saw that.
The World's Cruisers Tag Team and Santa Claus, I think it was Richard Justice, who was the standby wrestler.
And he started doing Home Alone stuff, didn't he?
Yeah. The video's on our Twitter if anybody wants to watch it.
Santa Claus. They've mastered the Santa Claus.
Bringing it back to the pre-show, Nick stayed up, I didn't. Like I said, the Mojo Rawley promos before that match had me quote unquote hyped for the match. See what I did there. I can't believe that wasn't on the main card. In all honesty,
It was just over 2.5 hours, so they've obviously run short on some of the matches.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said on Twitter and stuff, I bloody hate the advertisement breaks.
You've got an hour of nothing. Why do you need to put an advert in the middle of the match? Like two minute advert in the middle of a 7 minute match.
Exactly. So if you're going to have a pre-show match and it's going to be, you know, of the importance of, you know, somebody turning on the other person, don't really want it to go to an advertisement halfway through.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the things with Raw and SmackDown and stuff, and it just takes you out of the match completely. So, but the promos are amazing. You know, even Dave Meltzer said about Mojo's promos, why can't he do them on SmackDown and stuff. Really impressed with that.
We need time for Shane McMahon on SmackDown.
Sorry?
We need time for Shane McMahon to do his 40-hour minutes of promos every week.
Yeah. I don't like this side of Shane McMahon, I'll say that. But, a good match. I would have done, like I said on Twitter and stuff, I would have done the turn the other way around. I would have done it with Zach becoming the villain and then rejuvenating his career. But they've always wanted to, put across Mojo Rawley ever since NXT. So that's the way it's going to fall.
Right, so should we talk about the triple threat match for the WWE US title? Rude versus Ziggler versus Corbin. Oliver, your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I didn't watch the show live. exactly, Nick. I didn't watch the show live, and I was going to watch it the next day, mid to late afternoon. And I'd gone and put on my internet, saw my notifications come through as I was watching this match.
Mm.
And I was thinking, I don't know if I fancy watching the show. And then obviously, got to watch it because for the podcast. And then there came a part of the match, and I was just like, it kind of built all the way through. I think Corbin was fantastic with his trash talking again, and having the fans in the palm of his hand in terms of like hatred towards him. And then there was a turn in the match, and it just started. It was just amazing. And really surprised me. And then Bobby Roode, I thought if anyone's going to win the title, it's him. And then for Ziggler, who I've championed for the longest time, to get a win out of nowhere, that was just an electric start to the pay-per-view, basically.
Nick, do you have any theories on why Ziggler won?
I don't know. They're really behind this character of overlooked and underappreciated, and the whole no entrance kind of thing is unique as well, isn't it? So
we had theme music when he won.
Oh, okay. Well, it's theme music, the no entrance thing is really cool, I think. don't know. If anyone could be that champion, it can be him. And he's going to be facing Corbin in rematches and stuff, isn't he? So. Not sure. I don't watch Raw and SmackDown, so you're probably better off asking that question to Nick.
Yeah, Nick. Are you any theories on why Ziggler won?
First and foremost, excellent match. Just have to say it was my match of the night, personally. Really enjoyed it. All three of them did superbly well. I don't really have any theories. I think I like the commentators before the match, short saying they were bigging on Dolph's entrance that we've been said about, saying that there was sort of, I think one of the quotes and one of them, I could be wrong, but I think I heard one of the quotes said, I spoke to Dolph backstage and he said that he's more focused now on his matches now to cut out the entrance themes. Yeah. So whether it's trying to do that, it could just be me looking way too much into it, but I'm happy for him. I didn't expect it. It was probably the last person I expected to win the match. So it was a surprise, but a pretty pleasant surprise. He's still a very good wrestler. And I think he can still obviously cut pretty good promos. So, I've got no complaints about it. Surprised, it looks like they're kind of going towards a Corbin Ziggler feud, and they're both heels after Corbin's backstage, thing.
Yeah.
Which, unless they're going to, I don't really know, unless they keep it in a triple threat sort of the away, it would be dark to turn to Dolphin face. In that token, it'll be dark to turn Corbin face, because I think they're both doing very well at heels, and I think they can get even more almost over being a heel, if that makes sense, not in that way, but in the sense that obviously the character development. Excellent match. Happy with the winner. Why it was Dolph, I don't know. Clearly, I'm more intrigued to see where they go from here.
I even think they just wanted a. They thought the card was pretty predictable, so they just wanted a shot. Or I think they want Jinder to get this title, and they're just going to use Ziggler. As they don't want Corbin or Rude to have a Jinder loss on their back, so they're going to use Ziggler as a transitional champion.
Yeah, potentially.
Or they want to put the title on Ty Dillinger, maybe.
I think they like this Jinder character, but they can't keep him in the world title picture. And just The anti-American thing always works when he's carrying the US belt.
Don't like bullies!
Well, shall we move on to the Tag Team Championship match? So it was Rusev Day versus The New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Gable versus The Usos. I love Rusev Day. I love the 12 days of Rusev. Oh, was amazing. I'd love to see 10 larders leaping. So, yeah,
I'm sure you would, Chris.
So despite being a confusing spot fest, this was my favourite match of the night. Nick, what was your thoughts on this enjoyable mess?
Yeah, I enjoyed the match. My second favourite match of the night. I think, I don't have any problems with the Usos retaining. I was expecting it to be a face team, either New Day or Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, solely based on whoever would win would probably go and have a feud with the Dungeon Brothers. Is that what they're called?
Bludgeon,
sorry. So I thought that's who they're probably going to have a feud with, but no. No complaints with the Usos winning. I thought there were some great moments in that. I thought Chad Gable was very, very good. He looked even a bit more badass as well with some of the suplex he was doing. I thought he had a great spell. But overall, I thought the match was very good. I think SmackDown Tag Team Division's in a pretty good shape at the moment. Obviously, there's three other teams that weren't in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them the Dungeon Brothers. The Ascension and Breeze Angle.
And the Clones still around as well.
So. Well, I thought they were released, but I saw them outside like a Battle Royal or something a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've even got them around. I think
one's been injured for a while, so they must have been cleared to come back. So.
That's probably it. But no, it's in good shape at the moment. And no, fair play to the Usos for retaining. I think they've had a great 2017. I think they've been probably, I don't know, there's a... Yeah, award
for the
tag team of the year, so I better keep quiet.
I hope when you announce them, I don't actually know the results. So I hope when you announce them, you announce it as Usos, because I think they've had a great year. And in terms of, obviously, the 12 days of Rusev, the 12 days of Usos was quite entertaining as well. Lockdown and so on and so forth. Usos have been amazing as a tag team. They've really come into their own since this character change. Rusev and Aiden English were highly entertaining. And Chad Gable was beastly in this match. The German suplex, especially on Big E, was, the Chaos Fury German suplex by, you know, Britain's own Doug Williams, but obviously in this instance, Chad Gable. Amazing. I thought that Chad Gable and Benjamin would win. There's been talk online about like a double turn between the Usos and Gable and Benjamin. And because you watch SmackDown Live, Nick, have you sensed that kind of thing happening maybe in the future?
No, not really. The only time that's ever come across was when it was the SmackDown after the siege on Raw. They were proper reiterating about Gable like being really aggressive backstage on Raw, going after Jason Jordan, the people they kept bringing that up. So I thought maybe that's the only time there's ever been remotely stuff that's been heelish about him when they made a point about it, a bit heelish. But apart from that, no, they've been just stand faces, really.
Okay, because when they came out, there was a few like thumbs down stuff from the crowd when they were. You know, when they're making their entrance and they're in the ring, so I thought there was a bit more to it, but I guess not.
They might have scared Jason Jordan was going to come out.
Then should we move on to the women's match? There's a lumberjack match for the women's title.
A lumberjill match.
I did question whether lumberjill is politically correct.
They used to call it that.
Right, so just a quick question for the both of you. Why was this match a lumberjack match?
I said on Twitter and stuff, should have been a one-on-one match, Natalia against Charlotte, and you should have had the right squad against three members of the SmackDown Women's Division as two separate matches. That would have been better, I think.
Usually to have a lumberjack match, it's because the champion keeps running away from the challenger. But Charles hasn't been avoiding that, so there's no point in having a rumble that match.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that one needs, you know, a special attraction, isn't it, I suppose. But, you know, it's WWE. Sometimes things don't make sense, Chris.
Especially when you don't have enough lumberjacks. You only have seven of six of them with heels.
Yeah, it was just nine.
I would have done you, then I would have made Charlotte vs. Natty either a cage match or a submission match if they had to put a gimmick in it. Then I'd have a seven match of the Riot Squad versus the Welcoming Committee, or just a selection of SmackDown. Like an Invaders versus SmackDown type six-woman tag. So it was only 2.5 hours long, so they had time to throw another match or two in.
Yeah.
So Charlotte won with a figure eight, and then Natty did a really confusing promo after the match. Nick Hughes suspected on the live tweets that he thought she might quit.
I don't want to. I'm not Natty. But I don't know. It's the first thing you do think, isn't it? Because it's not really a promo you expect to see after a match. So I don't think she's going to leave, judging by it. There hasn't really been an overall sort of reaction on Twitter from her or anything like that. So I suspect we'll be cleared up more on SmackDown this week. I think it's more, you could just argue that obviously she's, emotions are running high after the match, etc., etc. But I don't think she'll quit. There's not been any rumours even before like that suspect that she was coming to an end, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, I don't know how old she is, but she's not out of old, is she? She's still...
She's
been in her mid-30s. She's been around for a while, but I think she probably got into it quite early, I suspect, especially in the family thing. But she's still quality in the ring, I think, so... Like, it was more of like a promo you expect to see from someone who was a face, but after like a defeat, almost like when Christian kept losing to Randy Orton or something like that. Someone who's turning sort of face to heel. That's what it felt like. A promo when Christian did that, when Christian said he was turning his back on the order on the WWE Universe back in 2011. So it felt like that, but it's a bit odd given that she's already a heel.
Yeah, she's 35.
I've just got that up there. Yeah, no, so she's a perfectly good age. So.
You turned your back on the fans months ago when you turned heel.
Well, that's it.
Why are you surprised they turned their back on you?
I think
the important thing about this is, you know, she's just talking about respect. And if you think back in 2006, around that time, I believe, she got brought into the company to help train other people. So it's, you know, if it wasn't for Natalia or Natty, then, you know, certain elements of the Divas and the Women's Wrestling Revolution in WWE don't necessarily happen. So I think it's just a spear of the spear of the moment, emotional promo, just feeling disrespected. But I can see if she's turned her back on the fans. It doesn't make sense in this. But if she was kind of a hero before the promo and then she turned, then it would make a little bit more sense to say, "Oh, I'll turn my back on you after you turn your back on me," and so on and so forth. Because that's kind of how it goes in wrestling. But much like Nick, I was left thinking, "Has she quit?" And I guess it'll all be she's. Yeah, I guess it'll all be sorted out in SmackDown Lives to come. I almost said a spoiler then, but I stopped myself, Nick, and you're welcome.
Right, so we have Breezango versus the Bludgeon Brothers. Was this the blow-off to a six-month storyline, really?
I believe so.
Is this the match we've been waiting since SummerSlam?
It's just going to annoy me talking about it.
In all honesty, though, the when the Bludgeon Brothers come out and stuff, it gives you goosebumps.
I love the Bludgeon Brothers. I love the Breezango.
They are pretty fantastic, but the fact that it's Harper and Rowan, and it's the Wyatt family packaged under basically the same kind of thing.
I love it when Harper slapped Rowan.
But
I keep expecting them to have a fight after they do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them if that happens in the future, to be honest, Nick, based on the past.
So could either of you thought of a better way, because the show was half an hour shorter than it should have been, could they have made this match more interesting?
I think in this situation...
Think about it, it's been a 6 month long storyline.
But they wanted to get them across as big brutes, and...
Yeah, they couldn't really... I mean,
do you know what I mean? You've got a...
A bit of a jokey storyline.
Yeah, I think with the match, you've got to sacrifice one of the teams. And Breezango, it's not going to affect them, is it, to get beaten by 2 7-foot brutes? If they were getting beaten by a team, you know, same size, stature and stuff in 2 minutes, then yeah, complain, be really vocal online. But these 2 7-foot brutes that SmackDown Live and WWE wants you to believe, and they are a real threat to the Usos and the SmackDown Live tag team titles. So,
and the comedy teams, they don't really. Well, they might have a bit of a fairy tale run, but you don't necessarily see comedy teams like big men like that. Do you? Like, you're not going to see over on Raw, like Heath Slater beat Strowman or anything like that.
They'll beat them. It's me. Something more out of the story, because it's barely even mentioned on. They said, if you want to know why this is happening, go to WWE.com and watch it. No, you tell us. You're meant to tell us the story.
They could have just done something like
they brought the Ascension in, haven't they? And now we're best friends, no, we're not friends. So they could have said, now we're best friends, we'll take on the Bludgeon Brothers for you. And they have Breeze in the background going, we're not friends. And then the Ascension gets squashed. And either then they straight go against Breezango straight away, or Breezango could try and attack them and get chased off by the Bludgeon Brothers. The story continues a bit.
But do you want to know the most important thing? The case has been solved. There you go. We said this months and months ago, who attacked Breezango? It was the Bludgeon Brothers.
I said Harper and Rowan the minute it happened.
You could go
back to the episode.
You know, we're talking about and stuff. I don't think it's going to affect Breezango much more than just on the 9 7-foot brutes, beat in a couple of minutes. You know, that's it. Match is done. Nothing more to be said, really. The Bludgeon Brothers looked amazing. Breezango got a few, you know, licks in the short amount of time they're in the ring. And case is closed. And see what's next for both teams.
So next up was It was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Nakamura and Orton. If Sami Zayn and Owens lost, they got fired. Two referees in this match, Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. When I first saw it, I didn't enjoy this match, but on re-watching it today, I did really enjoy it because I picked up on small things between Shane and Bryan, which I found really funny. I think this should have been the main event as well, because the whole story building up to this pay-per-view has been these.
No, I don't think anything should be above the title. You know, honestly, that was one of the worst things about CM Punk's run with the WB title. The fact that John Laurinaitis against John Cena was above, I believe, CM Punk against Daniel Bryan is quite shocking, really. One of the worst things to do. But
that was my match of the year.
Sorry?
That was my match of the year.
Punk Bryan?
No, John Cena versus John Laurinaitis.
Yeah, okay, Nick.
Nick, do you enjoy this match, Nick?
Who's that to?
Nick.
Oh, Nick.
No, I wasn't a big fan, I'm afraid. I thought it was all too predictable. I thought it was, they took the easy way out of booking the match. I thought the match actually could have delivered more. I thought Nakamura did alright. Shane and Bryan rather than Owens and Zayn, which I think Owens and Zayn's been the focal point.
disagree with Nick in a shocker to nobody. I really enjoyed the match. The awkwardness at the beginning was took you out of the match. You know, the pinfalls, the consistency and stuff was quite shocking. When it was like half ring and that made more sense. I agree with Nick. Nakamura looked good. I think it kind of came across like an old school tag match. I think it was Orton that was isolated for long periods of time. And like there was tags between Owens and Zayn and stuff. I think Zayn looked amazing. I think the fact that he picked up the win really could be the one that kind of parachutes him to the main event. We believe that would happen in, as an underdog character. It hasn't happened, but this could be an absolute huge win for him personally, obviously for the team as well. Shane McMahon showed his true colours. He picked his favourite. He wasn't going to count the pin. I counted it as it was happening. You know, it's a count of six. And then Brian did the right thing, because Shane is thinking with his heart, and everything that's happened in the feud between the three men involved. And Brian's thinking for the best of SmackDown Live, and to lose to upper echelon talents out of the WWE completely is something that he wouldn't want to do. So I thought, from a storyline perspective, it all made sense, in all honesty, when it all was said and done. And once again, we talk about storyline arcs and stuff. Shane McMahon has been intertwined with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn since you know, the one-on-one match between Styles and Owens for the US title. And I'm trying to think, pay-per-view Battleground, I think, maybe. Is that correct?
SummerSlam's when he was the ref.
SummerSlam was the ref. So once again, you know, you're looking at a period of time where the feud's been built up, and his hatred for Owens and Zayn could have cost them their jobs, but there's a good chance, because of the way Brian's acted, it could cost him his job as general manager. And that's the only kind of, you know, that's the real consequence of this. But really enjoyed the match. Awkward at the beginning, good middle, good end, and the right conclusion based on the fact that he wasn't going to do the right thing. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with Brian.
Is the payoff to this has to be a match? What's the point?
That's what everyone's saying. Brian out of retirement.
But the thing is with this, though, he wasn't allowed to do any of guest referee or special referee or any of that stuff. So, I could imagine so, because they didn't want him in the ring, did they? But now he's just been in the ring on Sunday, obviously as a guest ref and special referee and stuff. You know, maybe
he didn't take any bumps or anything.
Well, he did. He got pushed into.
Even me or you could do that sort of thing. Just get pushed and land on someone to break a pin up.
Yeah. But you know, hopefully, as long as he's healthy enough, this is the way that Brian's brought back in as a wrestler.
No, hopefully, my ideal solution out of this is either Brian resigns or is terminated on SmackDown this week. We don't hear anything or see anything, and he makes a return at the Royal Rumble, potentially eliminating maybe Shane, if he puts himself in the match for a dark reason or sort of whatever. Or Shane's got like a new pet, Shane's got a superstar he really wants to win the Rumble.
Yeah, so
should we move on to the main event then? So it's Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles. Probably Jinder's best match of 2017. I thought AJ made him look like a bit of a monster. I think it could have been done with about being about 5 minutes shorter. Oliver, what are your thoughts?
Completely agree with you, Chris. That was a tremendous performance from Jinder Mahal. I love the way he isolates AJ's ribs and was relentless in going after it. It, you know, reminded me of You know, when a technical wrestler just takes apart a body part and you know, uses it, and the near fall after, is it the Colossus? After the Colossus made you really think that he could win the title, and obviously that wouldn't have been the right decision, but it was bloody close.
He broke out the shell shock as well. I've not seen that for a while. He broke out the shell shock. I've not seen that for a while.
Yeah, before he did that, I was thinking Ryback does that. And then, yeah, like I said, fantastic. And then you've got the Singh brothers' interference, and the Star Clash on the outside was brilliant. And then it was just like, well, how's AJ going to win this match? Well, what he did the 450 with the ribs, the way they were, was pretty insane of him to do. He, you know, he used the phenomenal forearm as well. And I don't remember how much damage was done to the legs, but the other trick in his arsenal was the calf crusher, and that was enough to make Jinder tap out. And like I said, his best match of 2017. He controlled large portions of the match. Didn't look too bad in defeat. I just want to say he's, for everything, much maligned and stuff, but you think how hard he's worked over the years in the different roles that he's been given. He got himself into crazy shape to, you know, to be WWE champion and stuff. You know, fair play to him. What happens from here, I don't know. But, you know, when he's come to promo work in particular, he's been good as a champion. I don't think he's had the right challenges, maybe. The matches against Orton, for example, were, you know, it's difficult in terms of if the match quality and stuff. But if like when Reigns was champion in 2016, he had like Styles and Rollins and Ambrose to work with and stuff, I think the match quality would have been even better. But great way for him to end the year as, in terms of a quality match under his belt, and AJ proves what everyone knows, that he's phenomenal.
Nick, do you think this is the end of Jinder's title push?
I don't like to be rude about wrestlers, but I hope so. Whilst I'm happy they gave it a go, because I was sort of very, at the start of the reign, way back in May time, wouldn't it? I was very keen for this to happen. I was keen to give it a go.
I remember you being pro Jinder to begin with.
Yeah, no, I was, and I was happy to give it a go. I thought it could have potentially been almost like a JBL type run, which was obviously a very big success back in 2004. I was very optimistic giving it a go, something new we hadn't seen before. So I was very, very pro-Jinder. As the matches went on, I was still a bit pro-Jinder. It was sort of until SummerSlam time where...
It was when the Great Khali back, he kind of went...
Punjabi prison match, yeah. I felt they didn't need Great Khali to do it, because I still think he could have won by sort of in a better way against Orton in that match. Then it just got a bit boring, didn't it? It was getting all too similar. I think WWE didn't help matters as well, and I think they had Orton beating clean on SmackDown. They were making the point that Jinder can't do it without the Singh brothers.
Did he lose to Orton 1 week and then Cena the next week?
Sorry?
Did he lose to Orton 1 week, then Cena the next week?
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. I think that wasn't his case. So, I mean, that's not really helping him out at all there, is it? When stuff like that happens. But, no, I mean, it was a good... I think with the reaction when he lost, though, because they were quite clever, though, when he did win. They were showing all the angry faces in the audience. I mean, so they're obviously getting him heat, don't get me wrong, but it's probably not that type of heat that you want with people that are angry. It's more of the... Oh, this is just getting my number. This is just getting silly now. That's not the good type of heat you want. I think he's done well, but I think his main event stint, you'd like to think, has come to an end. But you never know if you can do it. Maybe potentially do a Miz.
Yeah.
So it's not. Whilst it's over now, it could certainly not be. I mean, Miz is one of the best things in WWE at the moment, and he's mid card. So just because you fall out of the main event picture doesn't mean it's over forever.
I'd like him to go after the US belt.
Well, that could work. Russo, you could have like a Russo type thing where you're, it works for people who are non-American going after that belt for many reasons. So, if he can do well with one belt, he might be able to dance again with the upper card in the future.
Oh, you know how I like my Legend Killer gimmicks? Legend, American Legend Killer. Bring back Duggan, bring back George Slaughter. The Patriot. Just having
bring back Hogan.
Oh, no, Hogan.
No?
Yeah.
They open the door to the retirement line.
And then, you go crazy.
Yeah, that's been mid-card American Patriot people. Yep.
If you look at Paul Reign, though, if he doesn't have the title, does AJ Styles beating him in Manchester mean as much?
No.
But based on that, everyone wants him to lose. So that's why AJ Styles' title win meant so much.
I think it was more, it meant a lot to the WWE because Styles' tweet, that we saw it, was very open, saying how much he always, the English have always taken to him, and they've almost accepted him as almost one of their own, really. That's what Styles was getting at in his tweet. So I think the one that he's very popular with the English fans anyway.
Oh, absolutely popular, but I'm saying.
I think the biggest reason was why it was such a big thing, because it's a WWE title that's changed hands overseas, so.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Obviously, just exciting the English fan. Big enough went on the Raw before that Cesaro and Shane the Bar one, which is very unusual for a title to change hands in anyway. But for the biggest prize in WWE to change hands was incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty, most historic, isn't it? So.
So you could have just have like one or two word answers to this next question. So who should AJ feud with between now and Royal Rumble? Who's he gonna face at the Royal Rumble?
Randy Orton.
Very good. Fellerish.
I'd say Corbin maybe.
I'd Corbin in my head. Could be the reason they took the belt off.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Everyone
had a big feud
over the US belt,
but
we don't see it again.
It's only going to be a one-off match, isn't it?
Yeah, but based on the fact that the maturity he's shown from NXT until now, and obviously from Sunday, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand.
So
I think as a one-off match to get Styles ready for Nakamura at WrestleMania, unique. Corbin would be a good match for the Royal Rumble.
Hi, this is Dave Mercy, owner of Pro Wrestling Chaos, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Shall we move on to part two of our BBG WWE Awards?
Let's rock.
Alright, so next up... Alright, so next award is WWE or NXT Tag Team of the Year. So the nominations were The Bar, Sanity, The New Day, or the Usos.
Drum roll.
And the winner was with 45% of the votes. I'm roughing the wrong one. The winner is 52% of the votes is the Usos.
Day one-ish.
I think they won the championship three times. This year. They won the championship three times this year, I think. Well deserved. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the Miz's run with the Intercontinental title. When it's all said and done, like, you don't want this title reign to come to an end. But obviously, they do in the end. It'll just be who takes the titles next. But the Usos have been incredible since the change of character and viewpoint and everything. Match quality has been amazing. Promos have been sensational. There was one promo on a SmackDown when they're in the crowd and the New Day were in the ring that was really, really good and made me like, wow, they're amazing. So yeah, thoroughly deserve it, but The Bar have been really good. Sanity have been good in NXT, and remind me of the other team was Chris.
Yeah, the New Day.
Yeah, and a New Day, but the Usos thoroughly deserve this award.
Right, next is WWE or NXT Female of the Year. It's getting late now.
It is.
Right, so the nominees were Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, or the Iconic Duo. And the winner of 45% of the vote was Asuka.
That's a surprise to no one, isn't it, really? The year and a half that she's had since joining NXT with her Goldberg-like streak. Match quality's been fantastic. Promos when she's had to do them on the contract signings and stuff have really, really nailed home what they've needed to do. So, yeah. Deserved winner. But the Iconic Duo had a fantastic year as well. Yeah.
They were my nomination. I love them. So.
Yeah. Peyton Royce in particular is one of my favourites to watch.
Right, should we go for the final award of the night?
Yep.
WWE or NXT Superstar of the Year. The nominees were Johnny Gargano, Neville, Braun Strowman or AJ Styles.
Jermall.
And the winner is, with 44% of your vote, AJ Styles.
They don't want none. Want none.
Another thoroughly deserved winner, but I have to say, Johnny Gargano's had an amazing year.
Yeah.
When I was at a friend of mine's house, the match sexual Danny Devine, professional wrestler as well, he says to me, he reminds me so much of a young Shawn Michaels in the way he tries to draw sympathy from the crowd and stuff, and you just think, and I was just awoken, then I was like, I'll watch his matches more intently, and I did.
Yeah.
And you can see, you kind of pull for him, you can kind of feel the energy and electricity through the television screen when he's against the odds in the ring, and the connection he has with the fans. He's, unless something goes, hugely awry in the WWE when he gets the call up, he's a future world champion in my eyes. But going back to AJ, he hasn't had a bad match since he's joined the company. He had a transitional period when he was there, and thankfully he was helped by someone else who had a transitional period when he started there, Chris Jericho. And then he matches with Reigns and then becoming champion last September, and then going into the Cena feud matches and stuff. And then he's been the reason people watch SmackDown Live, and it was a great nod of respect for him to win the title in Manchester, like what we just discussed. And as long as AJ's at the wheel of the ship, the SmackDown Live, we're all in a really good place, to be honest.
I would say that AJ Styles is the biggest name in the company, in the whole of the wrestling industry at the moment in time. It may be a bit of an overstatement. It may be something I just want to hear, but I generally believe that. I know obviously WWE wants us to think it's Roman Reigns. But the fact of the matter is not. It's not criticising him in any way. I just generally think it is Styles at this moment. So I think how it is with all parts of the audience. I don't know how what he does on merchandise sales. He's incredibly talented in the ring. He's not one of these ones who's just faultless in the ring. The reaction he got when he obviously won the belt at Manchester was incredible. But no, I think overall he is probably at the moment the best in the whole of this world at the moment. I'm just excited to see what the next year holds for him, because obviously he's accomplished everything at the moment. But it's just a case of having big matches with big wrestlers. And I hope he does have a big WrestleMania match this year, because the first two weren't bad, but were very, very good matches. No, I mean, well, to be fair, his match against Shane was probably one of my favourite matches on the card last year.
We should have had a most surprising match, and that probably would have won.
His match against Jericho at the previous WrestleMania was one of the best ones as well.
Exactly. So he's, I think that's his next on his life, to have a big match, not necessarily winning it, but I think he deserves to even close the show. Whether he will, I don't know. But I would like to see him close the show, because this could just be me talking from a biased point of view, but people might think I'm mad and stuff, but I think, yeah, he is the biggest name in the whole world, the biggest company, but I think in the whole of the wrestling industry at the moment, time of active wrestlers, I would say he's the biggest name going and the best wrestler going at the moment. But special shouts to Strowman. He's been insane. They've actually had to turn in face of how over was with the audience, but so much respect for someone as well who obviously come in without much of a wrestling background. And also, I believe apparently he jumped through, he didn't even go through NXT or any of the development. They threw him straight into the deep end.
He came in as a
rosebud.
He could have been really, really lazy, Strowman, and thinking, oh, I've done this all now, I can sort of just be a big man and be a bit lazy, but he's really taking it to the next step, and I think he could be the best big man of all time if he keeps going, because he is a class wrestler as well. The stuff he can do is brilliant. Some of his matches against Big Show and Reigns have been brilliant.
He's been studying his N64 games, Nick, with some of the moves he was pulling out against the Big Show.
It's brilliant. And just the reactions he gets as well from the audience is great. I think he's got genuine respect from everyone. And I hope that 2018 he's another one. I think on the limit, I would like to see him hold one of the titles this year, whether he's on Raw or he gets moved over to SmackDown, the Shake Cup.
I think he will be Roman Reigns' feud after WrestleMania, going into SummerSlam. I think he might win the title at SummerSlam from Reigns. That's my prediction.
That's a bit of a... Yeah, it could happen. It seems...
I don't know if you want to put that for you together after it's happened this year. I mean, where do you go with it next year? They've done ambulance matches and Last Man Standing matches and all that. It's, I don't know. But I can see what your point is.
Unless they do that. Well, we're doing a prediction show early next year, so we should probably leave it.
Yeah. But I agree with what, in short,
he's had a great year.
I agree with what Nick's saying about AJ Styles. You're not wrong in thinking that, Nick. If you spoke to the average person in the street, would they know who AJ Styles was? I'd hope they would know who he is. But based on obviously his in-ring ability, his connection with the audience, I would believe his merchandise sales are pretty good, because you kind of see him littered around the crowd and stuff. So. And if there was an awards, obviously you've only been doing this since, midway through the year, but if the show had been going last year and there had been an awards at this time last year, AJ would have won that one as well. So
yeah.
He's been fantastic since he debuted in January 2016.
Right, shall we finish it there? So well over an hour.
Yep.
Yep.
Right, so thanks for joining us today. Thank you for supporting us for our whole of 2017. It's been an amazing 6 months. I've really enjoyed it. sorry.
And I've really enjoyed being added to the team. A few months ago and stuff. Appreciate the opportunity to talk wrestling, and I hope you guys and the fans have enjoyed me sharing points of view from a fan's perspective.
We have indeed, but we've got some bad news, Oliver. You're fired!
See, that's the part where you're supposed to interrupt, is Daniel Bryan, Chris.
Oh, that's okay.
It's any shame, man.
Help him watch SmackDown to do.
All joking aside, no, it's been a pleasure being here for the first 6 months. It's been a delight to be part of it from day one. Enjoyed every
day
show.
Day one each.
Enjoyed every show. It's been great to have Oliver getting aboard around SummerSlam time, I believe it was. It's been great, and looking forward to seeing what holds for us in 2018. Obviously very excited about interviews with the Riptide promotion as well in the early part of the year.
Should be really interesting.
Hopefully we'll get Jody Flige part 2 and we'll get more 1,000 listens and stuff.
And also looking for the live edition of the show when I'm in, from me being live in the live interview of me in in America.
You're not kind of.
We're gonna have to figure out how we're gonna do this when you're in America.
I'll do a live. I'll give you a. You can call me for 10 minutes, and I'll give you a live. Oh my god.
No, you had a 15-minute window tonight, Chris. You got a 10-minute window, didn't you?
Cool. Right, so. Well, if you want to see the full results of any of the Twitter polls, if you go over to our Twitter, it's BBGWPod, and click on Moments, and see it there, they'll see all the results to all of the awards.
So if you want to see Nick's hilarious take on WWE Clash of the Champions with his live tweets, that's also on there. I love the comparison with Sven Goran Eriksson, Nick. That made me chuckle a hearty laugh.
First half good, second half not so good.
So please follow us on Twitter, and if you have some spare Christmas money, maybe buy one of Alan's books.
Yeah, please do. Or buy bills to pay. And you know, I don't have kids, but you know, we'll go with that too.
And if you want to send me some money, I can spend in America. Please feel free to do so.
Or you can buy one of our T-shirts from the merch table. All the links will be in the description below. This table, we have two designs. We have the Gang, which is a South Park inspired one of all us three.
And then you see the South Park inspired New Day T-shirts.
They copied us.
I know. That's what I thought too.
Huh? I thought we should sue.
Sue Day Rocks.
Alright, so everybody have a great Christmas, and we'll see you in 2018. Good night.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.